Welcome, everybody, to the People Are the Same podcast, episode 11. We are here with local comic Romaine. Say hi, Romaine.
Hello. How you doing?
There was a pause there because I pressed play instead of record for some reason. Look at that. So, already off to a good start.
Yep. Oh, man.
How you doing, Romaine?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Do you mean well?
I'm doing well. Mm. Wow. My inner grammar Nazi was like, oh, nine. Could you?
By your inner grammar Nazi, do you mean me sitting right here?
Yeah.
I just want to say real quick before we get started that Romaine has, like, these locks of dreads. And they're long. And I feel like you get Busta Rhymes very often.
I get Busta Rhymes. I've gotten,
But you look nothing like him except the dreads. So every time, like, I hear someone say it or, like, I make reference to it, I always feel really racist.
No, I get Busta Rhymes. I get, what, old school Dougie Doug, that guy?
No one listening is going to know who that is.
Yeah, or Daz Effects, if anyone remembers Daz Effects.
People remember Daz Effects.
I don't think people actually still remember Daz Effects.
No, you know what? I said it and regretted it immediately. It's like, oh, you know what? No one remembers. Some members of the Far Side, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was his name? Booty Brown, I think? No, he's the one.
I do not remember anyone named Booty Brown. Great name, though.
he keeps calling himself Booty Brown in the song, but I don't remember if he actually called himself that.
Oh. Hmm.
Fuck. Even Fat Lip calls him Booty Brown and
I feel like such a bad hip-hop listener tour now. Sure. Those aren't words. By the way, this book, Foundation, you need to read it.
Oh,
it's about the history of B-Boys. It's a great book. Like, it's a real page-turner.
My friend has a signed copy of that.
Oh, fuck you.
I hate her for that. But she was the one that invited me to the hip-hop awards, the first annual hip-hop awards. And not the awards
show. By the Source?
Not the awards show. VH1's hip-hop awards.
Oh, the hip-hop honors.
Honors, yeah.
So, oh, that's awesome.
It was the awards show, but the night before was the there was an exhibit with museums, and they had all the photography. They also had actual graffiti, people's sketchbooks. You know, Sean's brother was there because Sean died, you know. So his brother was there showing off his sketchbooks. Lady Pink was there because she tagged a lot of places and, like, the 1-2 line, the green lines in New York. So,
right.
They were there. B was there. He was dancing in, like, cowboy boots and
that's jeans. Awesome.
DJ Premier was DJing. Who else was DJing for a while? They was taking turns. I forgot who exactly was there now. But it was sweet. That's what she got out there. She didn't
sweet.
Get a copy of that there, but she got a copy of one of their, a copy of the sketchbooks. He made limited copies, like 50 or so.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I wanted one. It was like $25 to get a signed copy, but
you didn't have $25?
I was a broke college student. It was my last year of school, so.
Well, you could have been broker and had a really good memory.
That's true. That's very true.
That's what this show is about. I just call you out on stuff you should regret. The show is called Regrets.
There are many. The show will go on for too long if that's the case.
All right. All right, well, then let's skip that and go over to a childhood question.
Okay.
Oh, and as usual, the guest has no idea what the questions are. And so how nervous does that make you, Romaine?
I already regret sitting here.
Usually the spectrum is people regretting it highly or, like, you know, being like, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. You can ask me whatever. They're not bad questions, though.
Well, I never heard them yet. So
Question one. Where are the bodies buried? All right. Let's start in childhood. I might cut that because I've used it on a different show.
Okay.
So I used it on Dre's show, I think. Anyways, whatever.
Okay.
Real quick, where were you raised?
I was raised in the Bronx until I was 13, and then we moved to White Plains. And I lived there basically until I moved out. I mean,
so you went to, like, college?
College, and then, I mean, then back to the Bronx. But, like, that was, I was older than them, so childhood was mostly if you say from born to 13 was in the Bronx.
That's like childhood.
Yeah, so.
I would say
Bronx was the shit.
Boogie Bronx.
Boogie down, man.
So, all right, so when you were a kid being raised in the Bronx, how religious were you raised? Like, how important was religion to your family?
My family, you know, they're from Jamaica. We're the first
people. Oh.
So, you know, and I go back often. I used to go back every year. And
to Jamaica?
Yeah, to Jamaica. Oh, but okay. They're very Christian, conservative.
Oh.
Basically, church was, well, I mean,
every Sunday?
Sunday, Tuesday.
Oh, man.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, my God. That's 5 out of the 7 days a week.
Tuesday, prayer meeting, Bible study on Thursday. Friday was FTH in the Bronx. Saturday was choir practice. Sunday was 2 services.
So you did choir, too. Did you have the robe?
The robe, yep. In both churches, both when I was living in the Bronx and in White Plains.
Wait, you did two? Oh, okay.
Because it didn't change. It was really religious. I was, by the time I hit like 15, I was being groomed to be a youth minister.
Oh.
So.
Exciting. And that didn't work out for you? Did you not like that at all?
I don't know. Something changed, I guess.
Was it typical adolescence, like, maybe church isn't real?
Something like that.
So when you were a kid, were you very religious because of it?
Yeah. Every night was devotion. There was a chapter read every night.
Oh, wow.
Yep, there was a song sang. My brother and
I. No wonder you were in choir.
So we would sing, and then.
You said you and your brother?
My brother, my sister, myself, or I. Proper grammar. And then prayer at night, and then that was it. Devotion, there would be a study based on whatever we were doing. So I knew to this day, I still know the Bible backwards and forwards.
Oh, wow.
So when people come up to me, you're like, well, God said this. And I'll sit there and be like, you don't want to do this with me.
Wait, are you currently, would you say you lean more conservative or liberal now?
I'm very central. I'm okay. Very centrist.
So you kind of moved from the conservative side of your religious upbringing, I guess.
Yeah. Very much so.
So, okay, if you went to church pretty much every day, then Sunday must have been like an all-day church affair, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What was a typical Sunday?
Typical Sunday, let's see. Does that include like waking up for breakfast and stuff like that too? Because there was breakfast and then prayer before going to church.
Okay.
Devotion before going to church.
What time did you wake up?
We were up at like 7.
Oh my God.
And then we went to...
I feel like the earliest I ever woke up to church was like 9. Oh. 7.
Woke up at 7. Had devotion. Went to Bible study. Oh no, I'm sorry, Sunday school.
Okay. Bible study. What's the difference between Bible study and Sunday school?
Sunday school is mostly for... And it was broken up almost like a real school. You had your kindergarten, your first, and straight up.
Okay.
Different between that and Bible study. Bible study was mostly the adults, and they were in-depth study of, for example, if you talk about Moses, instead of just talking about what happened in the Bible, you talk about the time period in history that revolves around that, and what you think would make them well-rounded.
Yeah. I was about to say, that doesn't sound like the typical, like, super conservative religious stuff
it becomes very biased, because they'll talk about the history, but then at the very end, they'll negate everything that they've learned and go, but, you know, God said that we should kill all of them. So it's like, wait a minute, did you learn nothing from what just freaking happened? Like, no.
Just be like, this is what's happening in the world. Psych, God forever.
Yeah. So it was weird when you started, like, you have history, and you're learning about history, you're learning about the Bible, and you're learning how certain things may cross.
Mm-hmm.
But to use the Bible as a fact-finding book, in my opinion, is not that smart. And that's what would go on there. Thankfully, Sunday school wasn't like that. Sunday school is very... You know, here's a lesson. Here's where the verse is taken from. Here's the story. What did we learn from that? Jesus loves you.
It's always Jesus loves you at the end, which is nice.
Yeah, it's nice. You learn different songs and whatnot. And there's a lot of songs. A lot of songs.
Did you have to memorize all the songs? Or, yeah. Oh my God.
Memorizing songs, memorizing hymns, Bible verses, context, where they're taken from.
So your brain, like you mentioned a little bit ago, that you still remember the Bible back and forth. Like a lot of your brain must be just full of religious material from when you were a kid.
It's, yeah. Yeah.
How do you remember? Do you remember any of the songs?
There are a lot of hymns. There are a lot of hymns.
Pardon me.
Well, hymns and songs. There's a lot of them. Believe me, I might not know them off the top of my head, but if someone played the first three notes, boom, I'm gone.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
If someone starts off with like a verse, I'm gone.
Wow.
So I can go from there.
Did you ever have to do like choir competitions or anything?
Yeah, we did choir competitions. There was a camp.
It was like a church camp?
Church camp, Christian camp. Our brother and I entered every year. He always went first, I went second. I don't know. Maybe because he was the oldest one. But we both would play the piano. And
you still play?
Yeah.
Nice.
Still play.
Sorry, go on.
Where was I going with that? But
you were bragging about how talented you were.
Yeah, it was popping collars. Let me think about that. Let's see. So Sunday school, and then it was, of course, church service started at either 10 or 11. We were in church until he decided he was done talking. Basically, I always envied my friends who went to like Catholic churches because they were like, oh, we were done in an hour. I was home watching the Knicks play by 12. I was in here like, I was in church at like 4. What the hell?
Oh my God, you woke up at 7. Okay, you woke up at 7, had breakfast, did a prayer, went to church, and stayed there till 4.
Depending on who was speaking. Sometimes you get up 2, sometimes you get up at 1.
That's not any better.
But at least I was able to catch, if the Knicks were playing like the double feature on NBC. Oh. Hey, I'm talking old school shit now.
Yeah.
You did the double header.
Back when people liked the Knicks.
Yes. Yeah. I like the Knicks now. They got Carmelo. if they were playing the second game, you were good to go home at 2. Like, right. Yes, but you would piss us off so much.
I honestly felt like I went to Mormon church and I was raised Mormon, and I honestly, every time I went there, I was like, oh, this is taking forever. But it took like max 2 hours. So like, I guess I should count my blessings because you were like church life.
Yeah, basically.
That's
church life. And I think what sucks about it is that when you're a kid that thinks outside the box and outside of church, certain questions aren't allowed, and you've learned that. You learned that pretty early.
Well, do you have any? Do you remember anything specific? You should have seen the face he made. If I could have photographed the face he just made, I would win a Pulitzer.
I think it's more questions about why would God do this in one instance and then do this in another instance. Like, you'll take something from, like, there's two mentions of how the world is made. There's consistencies there.
Yeah.
Now, even as a kid, I didn't think anything of it other than, why is that inconsistent? And they assumed that I was like, what do you mean inconsistent? You're saying there's no God? And he jumped to that conclusion. You're 6 years old. You're like, wait, I just noticed a small inconsistency. I just wanted to know why it's there.
All right.
And they rip into you. Anytime there's a consistency, it always turns back into, what, you're saying there's no God?
And you can't battle that.
And you can't battle that because you're under whatever age, and you're afraid that, one, they'll go back to your parents about it.
Oh.
Two, they really drill it into you that you're going to hell. Like, they used to show the old Left Behind movies, not the one with Kirk Cameron.
But there were old ones?
There were older ones. And there was a song in there that I remember to this day because the woman was screaming her head off when she woke up. The rapture happened, but it was in her dreams. So she thought, okay, I can wake up and ask my husband, who's a Christian, how does this whole church thing work? Because I don't want to go to hell.
Right, right.
When she wakes up from the dream, the rapture already happened. So she screwed either way.
That's so fucked up. That's so scary.
She screwed either way.
Right.
And she went. She goes to the bathroom, and her husband, he was in there shaving at the time, but the shaver is gone. It's in, like, the sink.
Yeah.
You know, the razor's, I guess, still buzzing in the sink, and the music's playing, and she's screaming, "No, no, I'm too late." And I was like, So I'm 7 watching this. They had all of us watching it.
Oh, so you must have been frightened. Like,
I was terrified.
Yeah. That's not a thing you show a child. Like, see?
And this is what happens when you talk back to your parents.
Oh, I'm like, God. You. I would rather get hit than watch that. Like, my mom never hit me, but I would rather.
It was a combination of both.
So oh, so you were afraid if you questioned God and then they told your parents, they would hit you.
You hit you and you go to hell. But either way, you screwed. So
that's awesome.
So, and, you know, and because it was a very Pentecostal Jamaican church, so they preach a lot of hellfire and fire and brimstone. And
I did not know Jamaicans were known for that. I guess I do not know that much about Jamaica.
A lot of hellfire, brimstone. It's a very close-knit community as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't get home and get your ass whooped, you got your ass whooped on the way home. So people that knew you were like, "Why? What, you did that?" And just bam.
Oh, wow.
They wouldn't like whip your ass, but they'd probably give you 2 slaps or something.
Still not good. Still not.
And still not fond of being. You get home and be like, "Oh, man, really? I pretty much did like a gang line initiation." I'm getting my ass whipped.
you got beaten.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's nuts.
Well, for some reason, that's just normal. I look back and it was like, something to do.
Well, that happened, and that's cool, you know?
Yeah, but I think as you got older, you questioned more. Like, they started looking at you like, you're the black sheep. But not only that, you're the black sheep, they really drilled into it, like, you're going to hell, for real.
Oh, my God.
And we'll pray for your soul, but you're screwed.
Well, oh,
and we don't want you around our kids to talk that shit around them.
Are your folks still religious?
My mom, very much so. My dad, I don't know.
My mom is super religious, like, to this day, and she'll, yeah, like, try to guilt me into, like, believing again, which I assume you know very well.
I know. They don't know.
Oh!
Let's just say it's one of those things where I have respect when people come out the closet, because I'm like, you're brave, because I can't even tell them that, God and all that stuff.
But they're not that anymore.
Not,
yeah,
for me.
Yeah.
You know? I think it really, especially going to college and going to art history, really drilled it. They didn't really drill it, but I guess I put the piece together. I've been, I guess I was groomed into being a youth minister, so I got to see behind the scenes stuff of how they preach, how they write their stuff. And what bothered me the most is that you would preach something to a group of people. And it's not like the 1600s and all back then when people couldn't read. Like, people can read. So I used to encourage people, hey, read about it for yourself. Take from, you know, and also look into history.
Right.
You know, history is written by the winners. I think that's the quote, right?
So yeah.
You should actually read what's going on, but compare it to history. Find out the Muslim point of view. Find out all these other point of views, because, first of all, the Israelites weren't the only ones in the world. And two...
Correct.
Two, just getting their point of view, and then being, like, Christians, for some reason, forget that Christianity comes from Judaism in the first place.
They don't forget as much as they don't like to acknowledge it.
So that kind of, I guess, context, you know, got me to walk away from it even more so. Like, just, hey, yeah, this part of history, you know, yeah, the Jews did this, but these guys here, they were getting their ass whipped because they were just hungry, wanted food, or whatever. Like, they were the nicest folks. All because the Bible says they were great doesn't mean they were, you know. So,
right.
I love the gay arguments when they talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. And the history of Sodom and Gomorrah is really, it wasn't that they were just having, they were having, they had gay marriage, they had all this stuff going on, but the real corruption was that they were stealing money. There was, you know, political unrest. There was all this other stuff going on. Yeah, it was a shitty place to live, but it was more than just, like, it was like, everyone always focuses on the gays. Like, it was the gays that messed up Sodom and Gomorrah, so God had to burn it with fire.
Right.
It's like,
also the everything else.
Yeah, like, what about everything else? Like, you know, like, the child rape and the pedophilia and the stealing and, like, honestly, in their book, being gay is wrong. Fine. We'll give them that. But everything else is wrong, too. That's why that place burnt up, because it's a whole town of just wrong.
Right.
Compared to the Bible. But it's, like I said, you bring shit like that up, and they go, like, you're going to hell! You know? Meanwhile, people are sleeping with each other. The pastor is freaking stealing tires.
Tires?
You know, like, just the most thug shit going on in the background, you know?
It's the Bible's Compton.
Basically, you know, so you got, like, hidden messages and sermons. You never know if he's really preaching or he's, like, macking to that girl on the side, like, you know, I see in my dreams a girl with long, dark hair, long, silky legs. And she walked, and I said, back, devil, you won't tempt me.
By the way, what exactly went into the process of, as you said, being groomed into being a youth minister? Like, did they...
Well, you got to help write sermons.
Oh.
You got to help write sermons. You get to help put it in context. You get to sit down and say, and they'll sit there and be like, you know, what does God feel you want to say? What's going on that you think God's leading you to say? And sometimes it wasn't that. Sometimes you just know something and be like, well, I didn't like that Christianity was so, I guess, couldn't access it, I guess, right. You know? Especially since they talk about how people are going to hell, and that's great. You can talk about that all day, but if you're trying to keep people from going to hell, wouldn't you want to try to get them in? So why you keep your doors closed? But then, you know, so you would write whatever you felt was in your heart going out and try to do it in a way where people could understand. Put verses in context. I hated when people would take two verses from something and then go, this is what God's trying to say. And it's like, wait a minute, the rest of the chapter talks about how, you know, for example, Samson would had his hair cut off. It wasn't just a hair that was his strength, the hair was his promise. So, you know, it's stuff like that where...
Right.
So if you just say, only take two verses from that and you go, you can take two verses from anywhere in that story and come up with, these bitches be crazy. they just want a motherfucker for his hair. Don't let them get close. They're going to cut you and take your strength. Right. Like, that's not what you should get from that story.
Right, right.
But people would do that. And they would try to, they would try to teach you not to do that.
Real quick, did you ever give any sermons?
I gave a few sermons.
Oh, wow. How was that for you? Were you nervous your first sermon?
I was pretty nervous my first sermon.
Do you remember what it was?
It was about forgiveness.
Oh. How sweet.
It was about forgiveness.
How old were you?
I was 15.
Okay.
I was 15. It was about forgiveness. And, you know, forgiveness being something that you do for yourself, not what you do for others.
Right.
Forgiveness being accepting everything about the person, the situation, and not forgiving to forget, because you don't want to forget the lesson. I used King David when he... what was the story? I want to make sure I get this right. Oh, King David, when he sent one of his concubines' husbands to be killed so that he can have her. So
God, what a good story for a 15-year-old.
I use, of course, Jesus, of course.
Of course.
Used Paul when he was writing his letters. I use different, just how they, with David, it was how God forgave him, and the rest was how they come to forgive the people around them for, yeah, you may be persecuted, but as you can see, I can't believe I remember that to that detail.
Yeah, you remember a lot of it. That's actually really impressive. Like, I mean, well, I guess it wasn't too long ago.
15,
and you're 27 now?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not
too bad.
It's not too bad. So yeah. And that was the end of childhood. That's a pretty good note to end on, I would think, for that topic. So we'll just move on here to adolescence. Your high school, college days. Are you excited to remember fondly? The most embarrassing part of most people's lives.
That depends on the question, really.
Oh, really?
I'm scared.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm scared of this one.
Well, let's see. Well, when I was, I did a show, this show, with Maria, and her and I had this thing with a lot of previous guests where I would ask them about their music tastes, because nothing more embarrassing than that. And the second most embarrassing thing, I think, is relationships. And I asked her about her relationships. And I kind of want to ask you the same, but not relationships. I want to ask you about the crushes you had.
Oh, snap.
Because we all have those unrelenting crushes on people.
You know what's sad about that question is that I still have crushes on some of them now.
Really?
Because, like, you know, they show up on your Facebook post like, hey, holy shit, you've gotten even cuter than what you...
Yeah.
My crushes.
But yeah, what's the earliest crush you can remember?
My earliest crush is... seventh grade doesn't count. That's middle school, right? That's
not high school. Well, we can go to seventh grade.
Because that's when I first started school in White Plains. And, or Woodlands. We went to Woodlands. It's a girl to this day. We're best friends to this day.
Oh.
But I don't have a crush on her now. But when I had a crush on her back then, mean crush on her.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the first time I went to ask her out, and I had a piece of candy in my mouth. And I'm sitting there like, I had like one of those strawberry hard candies. I'm chilling. I'm like, yeah. So I got nervous, and I started like, my legs started shaking. I'm sitting there like, this is not right. I'm smoother than this.
Is this the first girl you ever asked out?
No.
Okay.
No, but this is someone I had a crush on real hard that I decided to ask out. It wasn't just like, hey, you want to go out? You know, I was casual about it.
Yeah.
So I'm asking her, and I'm sitting there shaking, and I shake to the point that the candy slips, and I'm choking on it. So I go, I run to the bathroom, punch myself in the chest so I can come up. I do it hard enough that I throw up. Now, where she's standing and where I'm doing all this, it's not very far, because inside the coat room of a church.
So it was a church.
It was in the bathroom. It was in the coat room. One is like, the church had like three bathrooms. And it was the one, it was, so she was right, if I could, just a few feet from me. So she was from a few feet from the bathroom. I was throwing up. She hears everything. All that stuff, she's hearing it.
Oh, wow. She must have.
Then I come out and go, so what do you think? She looks at me and laughs. She laughs to the point where I was like, you know, I got nothing to lose. I got nothing to lose. So what do you think? And she goes, no. No.
But she had no other answer to give at that point, really.
And I was like, yeah, that's the right answer. After all that, yeah, that is... I didn't expect anything other than a no. If I got a yes, I would have walked out like, holy shit, I am God.
That would have been your go-to move from then on. It's like, choke on something, throw up, ask a girl out.
So that was my first crush, and that was...
Oh, wow.
But we're friends. I hope she doesn't remember that shit, but I remember that.
I hope she ends up listening to this somehow. And if you're out there... I hope you remember that her, so vividly.
I'm not even going to say her first name.
You don't have to.
Because I don't want her to be like, oh yeah, I remember that shit. And then she's going to invite me over to the party again and be like, hey, I got a story to tell. Hey, Romaine, maybe you should tell it. Oh, by the way, guess what? Let's just play this podcast.
I'm going to put up this entire podcast and then also just this one segment for easy playing at anyone's behest.
All right, she's just not going to know this happened. But I had further crushes. For some reason, I had crushes on I don't like ghetto girls.
No.
In any... Because for some reason, we don't get
along.
But you
grew up in the Bronx.
Oh, because I grew up in the hood doesn't mean I'm hood.
I mean, I know, but I
did hood shit.
Neither does Lafayette, local comic. Shout out. He's not listening. But, Nia, and he just loves, quote-unquote, hood rats.
You know what? I've dealt with a few where I can't deal with the drama. I've dealt with them before I started dating them. You know, I dealt with them on that level where they annoyed me already. So, that doesn't mean I didn't have a crush on the cute ones.
Of course.
For some reason, there were these girls in high school that were ghetto as shit. And I hated that about them. But then at the same time...
They were so cute.
They were so cute. And because of that ghetto, I was just, I thought those were the girls that wanted some, like, just rough... Like, this is going to go get explicit a little bit.
Did you ever think the women with bad boys thing of, like, maybe I can change them?
No, I just thought they liked rough sex. I just thought they wanted some rough, like...
Which is not far from the truth.
Like, have your Tims on and a 40-ounce. Smashing their head into the pillow kind of shit.
Rap video sex.
Yeah. Like they... And the stories that I used to hear from the other guys that would get with certain girls that from the hood, and especially... They was like, yo... Some of these guys weren't hood either. They lived in the suburbs. You know, black, white, it doesn't matter what they were from the sub. They would have stories like, yo, she put me on to some shit that changed my life. Like, they look like they found God through pussy. They just found God, you know, God in the pussy, you know, like, you know.
That's where it is.
And I wanted that too, but it was just girls that I thought were cute enough, I guess, to help me obtain nirvana. Do that. So I was like, I want to get with her and her. This one girl used to get in fights with teachers and shit, and I used to look at her in class like, why can't you just sit down and shut up so I can fuck you?
That was one of your crushes.
That was
the mean hood
and then
girl.
She hit me up I saw her on Facebook, and then I was like, wow, I click on her. Wow, she filled out a lot. But, like, a hood girl, she got, like, what, 4 or 5 kids? So I'm sitting there like, I still hate it. It was kind of like...
Wait, would you?
Would I still hit it?
Yeah. Because I was going to say, if you still would, I feel like that's that thing of, like the crush that never really goes away.
Yeah, well, more so because... I'm sorry, but my ass got so much bigger and nice and round.
And you're a butt man.
I'm an ass man. I am an ass man.
I don't know why I said butt man. It made it sound like a superhero. But yes, you're an ass man.
I am an ass man. So, like, most of these crushes, they have nice asses.
In your formative years was when you began your crush on the posterior.
Yeah, and it didn't matter. There were some girls, too, where I was surprised. This one short girl used to sit right next to me, like behind me in class. And we were cool. And I find out years later, these are the crushes where I found out years later that, one, not only did they have a crush on me, but they wanted to get with me.
Right? Those are the worst.
Where were you? I'm sitting here. I'm all, you know, I guess I'm like the nerdy black kid. I'm from the Bronx. People assume would be hood. But I wasn't. Granted, I got in a lot of fights. I kicked a lot of ass.
Really? How are you going to be the nerdy kid and then get into a lot of fights?
Being the nerd from the hood is different being a nerd from White Plains. White Plains, they swore they were hood because they were just black and listened to rap music. I was actually from the hood. Mm-hmm. That doesn't, like, I'm not ghetto. I mean,
You're wearing a Voltron shirt?
I'm wearing a Voltron shirt. But, you know, I throw down, you know. I have no problem doing that. I've been in many fights. I guess, you know, I've been stabbed twice.
What?
You know, I was like...
Wait, have you?
I've been stabbed twice. Once in my knee, once in... I guess you can call this one a stab, but if I could show you, see that little mark here on my finger? That's from a razor blade.
Oh, wow.
I grabbed the razor blade and it cut me while we were tussling for it.
Oh my God. Because it sounded like when I was grabbing a razor blade, I was like, oh, well, then you didn't really get stabbed. And then you added, well, we were tussling for it.
So we were on the ground rolling for it, you know what I mean? I got stomped out one time through some gang just rolled up on me, stomped me out.
Oh, yikes.
Stuff like that. So I come from holding my own. Still be, like, you know, some nerds, I guess, you know, got guys on the street rolling dice on the corner. I was the ghetto nerd that was rolling, like, D&D dice on the corner. You know, we had ghetto adventures, like, you know, roll for not getting shot in the ass, you know, so that's how we did it.
You should try playing Bones with D&D dice. See how that works.
You know, like, some people were, you know, sitting on 20s, I was rolling 20s. That's how it worked out.
But, ching. Rim shot.
Gangster.
Alright, so, do you remember any of your later crushes?
My later crushes were just one girl in college. She was very, very Christian. Very Christian. And I guess we connected on that point because I didn't. Because
you knew everything.
Because I knew everything.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't get with me because of the fact that she was like, you seem on the fence about it. And I was on the fence at that time. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I know I have all this knowledge. I have all this knowledge about this stuff, you know. I've seen how it's helped people. But then, so things fell out between me and her because of that. But she was a crush that almost became something. And then, let's see. College, I was actually with someone. And I was trying to, you know, I was that faithful guy. But I had...
What's wrong with being that faithful guy?
Seeing how to end... product turned out.
It did not end very well.
The end product is not great. No. But
you and I are like this on that end.
Yeah. There were a few. Who was that one girl? Damn. Her face is in my head right now. Her name isn't there, and
her face and her butt.
She actually had more titties than that. That's when certain things started shifting. When I wasn't picky anymore, a girl didn't have, she had tits but no ass. I was like, whatever. But now I stopped becoming picky. So
you learned to accept.
I accepted everyone, you know. And this is one I went to school with as well. She, fellow animator, she was in class. We sat next to each other. It almost got to the point where when my ex and I broke up, we almost did something. Or we almost became something, I guess you should say. And then they didn't fall out. And then we're still good friends to this day. So, some of them worked out to be friends with people, you know. And then...
Some of it turned out for the best.
Yeah. And then others turned out where I just never saw them again. Now, because they, you know, they're in my friend zone too. But as a man, I'm like, I'll still do it.
That is kind of the man thing.
Yeah.
I honestly do have a couple of female friends that if they were like, do you want to? I'd be like, no. Like, you're...
Okay, I have some like that, too.
Like, absolutely not. Like, I'm sorry, it's just not... And it's not anything against them, but it's just, you know, everything in the friendship compounded. It would just be weird.
That's where the first girl falls for me. The first girl that I threw up, that's where she falls.
Throw up girl.
Well, on Facebook, of course, she's actually in some of the pictures I'm in where she brought holding my glass of wine. It's not like people can see it. But this Facebook picture is me and her. You know, just like acting stupid during a birthday party. So.
And, you know, there are those friends that you have that are just in that zone. But for the most part, if you have a female friend, she's like, you want to fuck? You'd be like, yeah.
Sure, I'm not going to say no. I mean,
nothing's going to go wrong. It's going to be fun. For me.
And you're still good. I mean, and I'll still see you as a friend afterwards. I don't know about you, but you might not see me as a friend afterwards. But I'll still see you as a friend.
Well, there will be some form of friendship after this.
Yeah.
Do you remember the hardest crush, like the hardest you ever fell for a girl, even whether you dated her or not in that era?
The hardest crush I had, I guess my hardest crush would be. I don't think I really had a hard crush. I guess it would be that girl I sat next to because it was always very tempting. Because we were always good friends. We clicked right off from the top. Like I said, we sat next to each other for 2 years.
Wow.
In the same, we took animation classes together, so we sat in the same spot. for 2 years. She called me her shadow. It was
so racist.
It was funny as hell. I used to do stuff like, because it was FIT, so the ratio of guys to girls was great. You know, half of the population of men were gay, so that means they jumped it up. It was 7-1 if you just said male female. Straight men to females were 14-1.
Oh wow,
it's great.
That sounds like a good
and
time.
I used to do things like, I used to pick her up and walk through the building like, I'm stealing your white women and stuff like that. You know, she was that friend to me, but she was also a really big crush. And I was, you know, I was with my ex at the time. So, you know, it was very tempting. And even after I got married, she was still that crush.
Right.
And I was like, holy crap, I'm married. I can't believe I still have a crush on her. But, you know, It was rough. There were, like, when I went to Cali, it was a bunch of us together in Cali looking for work as an animator and whatnot. And when most of them left and left the two of us alone in a hotel for the last 3 days, I was like, this is the hardest.
Last Temptation of Romaine.
Yeah, because I was, like I said, I was married. I'm in this hotel. It was two separate beds, but I'm sitting there like, my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm sitting here. I'm outside. She's like, oh, I'm going to go take a shower. I'm like, yes, you do that. Go ahead.
I will after you. It will be cold.
It will be a very cold shower. And then I remember I made breakkfast one day because we had a kitchen in our hotel room.
So that's a nice hotel room.
Yeah, I was making breakfast. I was just in the mood of making eggs in a basket. She was like, oh, my God, you can cook. You're such an amazing person. She, you know, I'm just like, don't touch me. Take this food and don't touch me.
Right. So, oh, wow.
She's still a crush to this day.
It's hard to get rid of those.
Nothing's going to happen. I know nothing's going to happen. I think the most, I remember, out of some weird desperation, I kissed her. And she was like, okay, I like that, but that can't happen again. Oh. And I was like, but you liked it. What do you mean it can't happen again? But I understand why it can't happen again. Or maybe why it couldn't happen again at that time. You know, so. But that's not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Oh, what a romantic tale. it's like a sad romance movie.
I guess so.
You could easily adapt that for the screen. Make sure it's an all-white cast.
That's the only way it would sell. Yeah, somebody like me in there.
The only way it'll go outside of Magic Johnson Theaters.
True, because I mean, if I'm in it, and you know, it's going to be an interracial romance kind of thing, and that means it's going to get Tyler Perry. I fucking hate that guy.
There was a few years ago, there was a romantic comedy called Something New. Do you remember that?
It was the remake of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
No, that was Guess Who.
That was Guess Who? Oh, yeah.
With Bernie Mac and Ashton Kutcher.
Hated that.
Hold on, let me look that up. You didn't hate Guess
Who? I didn't hate
Guess Who. I kind of hated it.
Because I like Bernie Mac. But I hated them. Yeah.
Okay, it was called Something New. And it starred Sanaa Lathan. I don't know how to say her name.
Sanaa Lathan.
Okay.
Oh, that was
And Simon Baker and Blair Underwood.
It was the flip version of Guess Who's Coming Together?
Kind of. Like, it was about her, and she wanted to date a guy, and then she meets Simon Baker, who's white. And then she also meets Blair Underwood, and she's like, I like the white guy, and everyone in her life who was black was like, don't date the white guy, date the black guy.
That's when and Blair Underwood, he was a lawyer, because she was a lawyer, and the white guy was like some gardener.
Yes. Yes.
That's strictly a Tyler Perry type move. Yeah. Where the guy you need to get with is a light-skinned manual worker.
Mike Epps is in this movie. Like, this, it was such a weird movie because I watched it, like, because I used to work at a movie store, but like I watched it once and it was weird because there was a scene where like she hooked up with the white guy for the first time, because the first relationship is her and the white guy, and all she's hanging out with her girlfriends and they're like, we've never been with a white guy, what's it like, how's his dick? And she was like, and then they all started laughing, like, oh, girl, snap.
And, oh, girl, you gotta tell me everything about that shit.
And it was, When her answer to the dick question was, she made a face like it was quite enormous. Along the lines of the stereotypical black penis, I guess. But that's the only thing. I think she marries the white guy at the end after all her black friends were like, how dare you? Yeah. It was a weird movie.
Well, I mean, they all came to accept it at some point. It's all about they all accept it. Like, you know, girl, you found love, and love is hard to find. And I think it always comes to that conclusion, which is meh. It's all good.
All right, so we're in adulthood.
Yeah.
After that weird tangent about the movie, something new. And you mentioned you were an animator.
I believe I'm an adult.
Well, you're old enough to be considered one legally. But you're an animator.
Yeah.
What are you doing animation wise right now?
Right now, I'm working on my own stuff, personally. Thankfully, I got some nice encouragement from folks, you know, Randolph, Tim. I guess they saw the stuff that I was writing on Facebook and was like, you should change that into some animations. And they saw me sketching. I was drastically at the draft house, and I was sketching people on a newspaper. I was drawing everybody. So there was a comic version of everybody on the newspaper. and they're like, you know, you should, and he, I guess I should say this probably. He saw that first, asked me what I'm doing with it, and I'm like, when I was in high school, I had my own webcomic for 2 years with a friend of mine, and then got to animation and stuff like that, so I want to go back to that. You know, I did, it was like a video game comedy comic about what they do when you turn off the video game, how their lives are like when you turn it off and they're sitting there like, Mega Man's really like just a 30-year-old pervert who you know, he's this cute guy in the game where you're jumping around, but when you turn it off, he's like he's an alcoholic, stuff like that. I want to go back into that, but at my job it's a mix of everything. So my day job is a mix of everything. So, like, I have, thankfully, I've had stuff under my belt coming straight out of school, worked on, you know, DD commercials. And,
oh, wow.
Kids cartoon for a website, stuff
Did you
like
say
that.
Kids?
Kids cartoon, oh, okay. Yeah, about, like, this. The FCC wanted to have a cartoon for some reason about, you know, educational cartoon about how advertising works and how the FCC works and how, you know, ads do one thing and say another and stuff like that. So they wanted to make a cartoon, so we did a cartoon for that. It was interactive cartoons. You can click on stuff and people dance. And
so you basically just do animation for hire currently?
Currently, yeah. And if there's any side jobs, fine. But right now my full time is like, I'll do that stuff, but I'll do it on top of like videos. E-card, I did my company Christmas card. When there's a video or any movie, all the special effects in the background, the stuff that pops up. Like, you know, in ESPN, you got, like, number one and all that graphics comes up. That's the stuff I do as well. So I do from there all the way to anime-style stuff like that.
So you like anime?
Yeah. Well, I love animation. I love animation in general. And it's weird because, like, in my apartment, there's not, like, because I worked on video games a lot. I did a video game for where I work.
Oh.
So there's video games everywhere. There's DVDs of animations. There's DVDs of anime. There's manga books. There's comic books. There's reference materials for the stuff I need to model in 3D. And it looks like you're coming to the house of some creepy guy who has a gun fetish. Who has, like, a gun and weapons fetish and a cartoon fetish and all these games. Like, I don't know if you're really here for me or you're trying to get with my daughter. I don't, you know? So it's I get self-conscious when I bring a girl over, and I have to sit there and explain everything.
You know? Like, no.
Like, wait, sit down, and let me show you the stuff that's on my computer. Which isn't any better. No. The minute you say something like that, when you start a sentence with that, it's like, hey, that's not the best thing to say. Just sit. Don't run, please.
Sit down.
Like, sit down. Don't run. Just have a drink. No, there's nothing in it. Please, look. I know it looks creepy. I have a collection of books, of gun books.
Right.
Not because
you love guns.
I love guns because in 3D, you have to build and you need references. And you, you want to build off the real thing. You know, when I did a government contracting job where we had to build something in 3D and simulate it working. So you have to build every screw in 3D and then put it in place and then have it all work when it's simulated. So I need that those materials.
Sounds complicated.
Yeah. The programming of it wasn't... Building was more fun than programming it, but that's...
So what ideally, what would you say would be, I guess, your dream in animation? Going. Like, what would you like to be doing with it?
I want to...
Like, do you want a TV show? Do you want a comic?
I want both. I want a TV show and a comic. I want to be able to... Like, I look up to Aaron Magruder for how he did Boondocks.
Boondocks.
You know, I look up to him for that because that's the model I was going for. Granted, I stopped doing my own webcomic. I didn't know how popular my webcomic was until I stopped doing it. And then I get an email from Hotmail saying, hey, you know, your mailbox is full. And I go and check it. And this is maybe 2 years after I stopped the webcomic with my friend.
Which was?
It was 2002. No, wow. I'm sorry. 2002 is when we stopped. So I got emails until 2004.
So that's like a, that's an early comic, yeah, web comic.
It was an early web comic. We were one of the first ones to come out.
Yeah, wow. That was when like kind of like a boom was happening within the web comics community.
So we were the first ones. We had about 250 issues and 250 issues and 25 specials.
Wow.
And I get, and it's full, I get the email, I go check it, it's nothing but, you know, of course a little spam in there, you know, make your dick bigger and shit like that. And then, but it was mostly, where'd you guys go? You guys, because we stopped it, we didn't finish this, we do stories and we'll stop it at a story, and then we didn't finish the last story.
Ah, you dicks.
And they were like, what happened? Where were you guys go? Somebody used our comic in reference in one of their projects, they were like, thank you, this was funny, you know, all this other stuff. We did this George Bush comic. With like Dragon Ball Z characters, and
what?
We did this George Bush comic.
That doesn't sound good.
With Dragon Ball Z characters, and it was just like, you know, if George Bush had his way, you know, Goku's sitting there doing his thing, and he drops a big thing on Afghanistan, or no, he drops it on Iraq. He's like, I'm, you know, and he, you know, I don't know if anyone knows Dragon Ball Z very well. I guess
I know.
You know it. You shouldn't be ashamed of that. Well, I'm an animator. I can say I know it well. So, you know, he does the spirit bomb, meaning he needs the energy from people to drop it. So he takes the energy, which is a bunch of oil that comes out of the ground. He makes it into a big ball and then drops it on Afghanistan and Iraq, which kills everybody because it's a bunch of pressure. But he's like, he steals their oil to kill them with it, which was, they thought it was funny.
That's quite a political cartoon for the internet.
Well, we only did it once in a while. It was mostly a lot of, like, sex jokes and stupid shit. You know, sex jokes from the mind of, like, a junior in high school.
Right.
You know, so it was a stupid, cool spot, you know, the spot from the 7-Up.
Mm-hmm.
He would show up every once in a while, and all he would do was just abuse people. And, like, that's all he would do. So it wasn't... I didn't know why people liked it so much. I really didn't know why people liked it so much. I didn't know why we got so much fan mail, but I want to go back to that. And
back to that old comic, or like,
well, I'm making a new one. It's going to be a tribute to it, but this time, certain comics weren't my own drawings, and other ones were. Like, it was a lot of Photoshop stuff as well. But this one that I'm working on now, The Underside, because my comic was called The Other Side Comic. This one's going to be called The Underside, which is like, I guess, talking about the underbelly of society kind of shit. So. It sounds political, but it's just all the crap that I think about that's just straight bullshit. And it's going to be all my own drawings and stuff like that. I'm trying to do at least 20 comics before I actually release one. That way, if I get lazy, I'm like, I don't feel like doing one, I can throw one of my...
That makes sense.
So it gives me a buffer of a few days.
Right.
It takes a week to actually...
Oh, wow.
You know, come up with... Because I'll draw panels like 5-6 times in a row to make sure they're right. There's inking. I want to ink it properly. I want to do stuff like that. So I want to put in color. I don't want a color one every Sunday, like a large color panel one every Sunday.
Like the comics pages.
Yeah, I want this to be a professional thing. Right. So I don't want people to just, you know, because I have my own fans.
Well, the best way to go about it would be to be as professional as possible. Of course. You know, if it's something you really want to do.
Yeah. you know, and I had a few false starts because I couldn't either think about it or because of personal issues that came up that would halt things, you know. Like, when I was married, money and marriage stops a lot of things, you know, so I should probably go into detail with that, shouldn't I? Well, like, you know what? You have to decide whether I'm going to do this crap job for a while so that there's a roof over, you know, my head and my wife's head. Or I can bullshit around and do these comics and hope that someone picks them up. But the money has to come first.
Right. It has to.
Because you're not going to, because you're going to hear it. Like, why? Even if, excuse me, even though my ex-wife knew I was an animator, knew what my overall plans were and goals were, like, it's still the marriage comes first. So when I was drawing for too long, it's like, oh, what are you doing?
Stop that. It's kind of the same. Like, it's kind of the same with a lot of art. Like, unless you get someone that really understands what you're doing, it's kind of hard to explain it.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the same way that they need to understand it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's easy to explain, but it's not easy for them to get.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. That is. That's how that rolls, though, sometimes, you know, just,
Kidding. Yeah. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. I'm stupid. And that was a, we can end adulthood there.
Yeah, we can end
adulthood. I mean, I wish you luck on your comic.
Of course.
And I hope it works out. And now, before we end, we'll play, well, not play. These are the two annoyances at the end of the podcast. First is called the Wikipedia Random Article, where we go on Wikipedia, click Random Article, and talk about whatever comes up.
Okay.
It'll more than likely be something we've never heard of before.
I think I'd feel more like a nerd if it was something
I knew about. Yeah, there are over 3 million articles. Don't know what's happening.
Yeah, and then you click one, it's just, oh, I know this. I shouldn't know this.
José Manuel Roca Cases. The Spanish footballer who plays for Doxa Drama FC in Greece as a goalkeeper. This is the second time we've gotten a footballer as an article. The first time I got it with Pete, and God, he hates soccer so much.
Why?
Oh my God, he just, try talking to him about soccer next time you see him.
I should talk about the Manchester United, how they lost 3 games in a row.
No, like, he just hates this completely. Like, he doesn't know it. Like, he mentioned it on the podcast. He was like, remember that last game that the U.S. had in the World Cup where the guy, like, pretended to, like, I think, who were they playing in the last round? I want to say Nigeria, but I feel like I'm wrong.
And he pretended to go down?
Yeah, he pretended to go down, like, oh, I'm injured. And as soon as he got off the field, he, like, started walking, like, normally.
It was Ghana.
Okay.
Because Ghana beat them.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it was Ghana. Yeah. And he was just so pissed. And I was like, but that's part of the fun, like how asshole the players are. By the way, do you like soccer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. World Cup, I disappear.
Do you, is it just World Cup or do you follow everything?
I try to follow the local. It's just recently I'm learning that there are freaking cable channels that actually show other games.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? A guy, he runs the Thursday RFD comedy show, open mic, and I didn't know that he was into it too. He put this post about Manchester United, and this one tear just rolled down. Like, there's someone I can talk to about this, but I didn't even know that there were channels, and I flipped out. And ESPN finally covers it on their main page instead of like ESPN 8, you know.
Oh man!
So
you're.
I'm pretty excited. Yeah. I'm just learning this now because I learn everything from my cousins and stuff from Jamaica. They'll send me some links and stuff. So
I know you from comedy, and I guess I'll never see you again. Now that you're going to be watching all these soccer channels.
I don't know. I'll make time. It's just, oh man, I couldn't. Let's just say World Cup. It'd be my boss. He's from England, and when the U.S. played England, I come into work and he's at the front desk. And he's like, "Hey, you're gonna watch the World Cup?" And I'm going, "Oh yeah." So who are you gonna? And I was gonna pick U.S.
Uh-huh.
Period. And I just looked him in the eye. I was like, "I don't know anything, sir." And he's like, well, do you watch soccer? I'm like, well, yeah, but I don't. And I try to downplay the soccer like I don't watch it because I didn't want to tell him I want U.S. to kick his ass.
Right.
But then he passed by in a cube, and just it's me and my, probably three other guys there that actually watch and listen. We were listening to it, and we're not allowed to. It was it was blocked because they block everything fun.
Awesome.
But we got through it all. We put stuff on the computers and got through. We're watching it, and the U.S. won, and we were like, yes! Me and this guy were high-fiving and everything. And who comes out of the IT room is our boss. He's like, what are you guessing about? And he's like, oh, shit. Because the U.S. beat England. I'm like,
but, you know.
But they beat England, and we were flipping out about it. And we told him. And he sent us home.
So everyone wins.
Yep, everyone wins.
I just wanted to say that I clicked on the team he played for, and they just had a cool logo. That's all.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to say. I'm going to waste time. And the last segment is, of course, the if book. It's just a bunch of questions in here. Some of them are dark, and let's hope you don't get one of those. So pick a number between 5 and 129.
That's random as shit.
Well, these are the page numbers. I'm not just...
5 and 129. Okay. 129.
90. Okay.
Go up there. Maybe it'll get better as the book goes on. I don't like that face.
Do you want question 1, 2, 3, or 4?
2.
Okay. So glad you didn't pick 1. Because it's, oh my god, that's a weird question. By the way, everyone who's been on the show and chooses a question usually picks 3, so you're the everyone has picked 3 so far. You've been the break in the monotony, picking 2.
Well, thank you.
You know, this one's kind of dark, but very interesting.
Okay.
If you could choose from what you own right now, what clothes to be buried in when you die, what would you wear?
Probably my express jeans.
Oh, buried in jeans.
The jeans, yeah. I mean, while I'm a suit guy, suits bring out an alter ego of me that I don't like too much. I like it when I have the suit on, but not when like I become this very arrogant, overconfident ass.
You don't want to have a smug face while you're in the casket.
Exactly. Because you know I have like I'm really snobbish about suits. So I'll be in a suit and I'll roll in my grave to put me in a bum ass suit. So I'll stick with the jeans. My brother got me this shirt. It's the I wish I was a little bit taller shirt. And it's a picture shirt that has everything of that whole chorus. I wish it was a little bit taller, taller. So it has that. And probably like just some brown Rockports. Basically it just shows how
casual,
nerdy, laid back Romaine, you know.
The kind of Romaine you would want to be remembered for.
Yeah. The one I want to be remembered for, you know. And then like a chocolate brown leather jacket. If they can find the one I used to have before.
You're wearing one right now, kind of.
Not this one. I had another one. That's a more of a personal comic that I'm doing. It's not part of what my plans now, but it was more of a kind of autobiography. It looks like what my character looks like in that comic.
Persepolis or Andrew.
Yeah, Ghost. That one I'm hoping to finish in like maybe 5 years. If I keep the schedule the way I keep going now.
Well, I hope that works out.
But that
based on this podcast, your autobiographical comic will be very interesting.
it has twists to it. Basically, I'm a superhero in that comic, so it's
There could be something you didn't share with us here today. Are you a vigilante?
Oh man, no that makes your parents. Something has happened to your parents for you to be a vigilante.
Oh, that's true.
So
I wanted to.
The only person that something didn't happen to parents is Superman.
And
lost his parents. His parents died. That's right.
Not only did his parents die, but so did everything.
Everything died. That's right. So, I mean, you have to have a story like that. And I'm not willing to lose anyone yet in life. So
it's a good way to be.
But when I do,
you're going off.
I'm going off.
Shit's popping off, son. On that note, we'll be ending this podcast here. Thank you for coming by, Romain.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This has been a People Interesting episode 11. My name is Ahmed. This has been Romain. Say bye, Romain.
Hey, everyone.
This has been People Are Interesting. Would be.
I'm like having someone's life in my hands. That's why I don't hold babies.